I just couldn't help but feel that Father's up to something today. I just got that feeling that we're here to do business today. Didn't you get that? Like, there's stuff that's happening, and actually, we just had church, right? We're going to have some more, but I mean, we just had church. So God's in the business of just blessing, setting people free. I like what Donna said. It's really easy. You only need one name. Jesus. That's all you need. That's all you need. So Heavenly Father, I just invite you to come even now to touch each person here without exception. Without exception, Father God. And touch them that place where they need it the most. That place that maybe they haven't even given voice to. Oh, I don't know if I can ask about that. Yes, you can. Thank you, Father. Just touch that place. Thank you, Father. Just bless us. Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, you know how we're to expand our horizons, Sebastian. So I thought, I'm 72, Ben. I use that oil of Dulay. And I hope it's working for me. But nonetheless, you gotta try different things. So I snuck in the back door. They had this women's conference thing. Don't mess with the ladies. They are a force to be reckoned with. They are a call of the Father. They're on the move. Get out of the way. Let's just have all the ladies stand up. And we just want to bless you. We want to honor you more, 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 more. You're a lady. You're not standing up. Come on. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Good. We just bless you. Father, I just thank you for women that are on the move. In Jesus' name. Wow. Preach myself happy. So here I am back at the women's conference, and I found out the ladies already know this. I don't know how many guys know this. They tell time differently. Oh, yeah. And, let me give you a for instance. One gal was talking about a building project and trying to get funds for it and shovels on the ground and get it happening. And then she says this, I could have had a baby before this thing get going, right? I know, I would never say that, right? But so everybody kind of looked, oh, okay. So we're here to do business this morning. It's a good thing. I'm going to go to John, 5th chapter here. You know, during my quiet time this morning, I was thinking, you know, there's only really three things that I need this morning. Of course, Jesus is the backdrop for everything we do here, so we're not pushing him out of the way. But this thought came to me. I thought, if I could preach with the knowledge and the depth and the accuracy of Brent, and if I could preach with the fire and the exuberance and the conviction of Kevin, thank you, Ben. And if I could totally tap into the raw passion that Willis has, there's no telling what'll happen, right? Everybody will be surprised. I'll be shocked, right? So I thought, this has got to be from above, right? Who let him in here? Thank you, Ben. That $5 was worth it. No, that's just Ben. You know, I was watching Ben this morning. We're going to get to the word. We really are. I was watching Ben this morning. Now, for me, when I come into the presence of God, me, it's kind of a gentle thing. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on. Then there's Ben. Ben has got two settings. Off and on. I don't think there's anything in between. green. Come on. And I love that about you. Wow. I love that Donna was just prophetically saying and just released the word. And I think this is this, I hope this is the microphone that Justin had. It was pretty anointed, right? So I may take this one home. I'm not sure. Somebody's going to get so upset. Thank you, Father. Come on. So come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. More, 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 more. You know, the thing that came to me is that maybe not you. Maybe it is you. I don't, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But sometimes our dreams get stolen from us. They get taken. Or we just get tired. And I don't know if there's so much taken as we just get tired of hanging on to them and we relax our grip. And just like steam, right? They're gone. When I'm feeling bad, one thing that makes me feel better is when I can find somebody who's worse off than me. Not very mature. But I found it. It's a thick book. I had to really kind of dig through this. But here it is. That's right, John. John 5. You'll know the story. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. It's sort of like, I got nothing else going on. I'm just cruising. Thank you, Paul. Make me look so good. Where was I? Anyways, so it looks like Jesus just got nothing to happen. You know, he's just walking around. I don't think Jesus does anything by accident. I think everything is calculated because he's fully God and fully man. So he happens to be cruising along. My word's not the word here. Now, there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda. And I thought about that. And what Bethesda means is a house of mercy. It's a gathering of people. Like-minded, too. This is sort of like a pool. Not that pool. But of like-minded people. People on fire. People not willing to settle for less. People, it's too late. We've been off the farm. We know there's more. Right? That's you folks. But this guy I'm going to talk about, I don't know if he'd been there. He's missed a few conferences, maybe even a couple of Sundays. But anyway, let's get back to the story. Which is called Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. I don't know, and I know we got lots of smart people. How many is a multitude? 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 100? How many? Lots. With me so far? So there's a great multitude of sick people. I really wonder, too, when you're feeling really good and you hang out with sick people all the time, I don't know if it jumps on you or you kind of catch it from somebody, right? But you end up in that same place yourself. A whole bunch of sick people. There was blind people. And when I read that, I thought, blind. Well, the first thing we think of is people just can't see in the physical. But I wonder if there's different kinds of blindness in there. People who could not see any further than the ends of their hands. Maybe people who had lost their way. Maybe people who, as far as Father's concerned, I can't see that far. That's not for me. That's way out there. So there were blind people there. Maybe there's one or two here who are still looking. We're all looking, right? Maybe there's some of us that are online. And bless you folks that are online. We bless you. We bless you. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you even just want, maybe you're not totally blind. Maybe it's like some people have corrective lenses. I have them, but I'm too proud to wear them. But But we want to see better. Don't we all want to see better? So we put on those Jesus lenses. So there's some blind people by the pool. Lame. Well, lame means to me that they can't walk very well. And of course, again, I go to the physical. They're crippled. It's not a very nice word, but the handicap, what, I don't know what the right word is today. Thank you, Ben. He's my coach. Love that guy. Anyways, but he, there's lame people. And to me, if people that have, you know, there's people in the spirit too, I believe, that are lame. Have you met them? They know where they should be going, but I just don't know if I got the wherewithal. I don't know if Jesus even knows I exist. I know I should be going forward, but I'm not feeling it today. I'm lame. I'm not at top speed. With me so far? Come on. Paralyzed. Wow. We think, well, people who just can't move, but I believe there's some people that are paralyzed by fear. Right? Boom. We can even put fear into this crowd here. You couldn't me anyways. I say, you've got a pop quiz in 2 seconds. Ah! It just paralyzes you. You can't move forward. Maybe there's somebody in here who's overcome with fear, wrestling with fear, trying to push it off. Maybe that's you. It's certainly been me. You know that water I said I didn't need? Here we go. Waiting for the moving of the water. I mean, it's one of the biggest words I know. They were looking extrinsically. They're looking outside for something. It almost seems that if you're familiar with the story, and you are, that would give this crew permission to get healed. Am I close? Right? So if the water stirred and I'm the first one in the pool, I get healed. But I'm looking out. I'm always waiting. So different than today. Where bang, you want healing? Bam. We got a prayer team here that's just ready to go after service. Come forward. And then whoever was first to step in the water, there's the ones that got healed. Which works really well if you're not paralyzed, if you're not blind, overcome by fear, right? What about the rest of those people? So anyways, they dial up this one person. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Oh, my goodness. Right? 38 years. Some people aren't even that old here. Good on you. But this gentleman had been waiting 38 years. Years. Well, you got to say this. The man was tenacious. Not leaving the pool. Got my spot. I can't get in the water, but I'm hanging. There's got to be something. There's got to be something. And that's maybe an encouraging word for us. We've got a lot better ways to do this than what this gentleman did. Anyway, so he's there 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he already had been there in that condition for a long time. And he asked him a question that I just blows my mind. The question is, do you want to get well? You ever think about that? Of course, the first thing you say, well, of course. I've been by the pool 38 years. Duh. And at the same time, realize that the backdrop here is he doesn't know who he's speaking to here. Jesus has not identified himself. So he asked the man, do you want to get well? I think there's people, not here, but I think there's people who are identified by their illness. well, you know, you can't expect much from me. You know, my back is not what it used to be, and my vision, well, these are getting thicker by the year, and I'm identified by what's not working, which is not Jesus' plan. You can leave your glasses on. I won't pick on you. Really, I won't. But Father knew him. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be made well? You see, it's almost like when you want to get well, that's, I think that this guy was here for 38 years. Would you agree with me? But that was kind of his identity. So what he was kind of asking, as we look at this, do you want a new identity? Hey, don't you think? Leave that stuff behind and come out of this place and put on the new man, because Jesus would make him whole. Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him. Now, to me, that's good. Do you want to be made well? That's a yes or no answer, is it not? But that's not what the man gives Jesus. He doesn't give him a yes or a no. He goes into this thing, again, his identity. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another man steps down before me. Then Jesus said, pick up your bed, your mat, your sofa, whatever it is he was on, and walk. And walk. I have to think in that moment, a whole bunch of things changed for that man in an instant, because he knew he'd been there 38 years. I can't walk, don't you know? But here comes the Christ, and again, hasn't identified himself. I says, pick up your bed and walk. And what does the man do? Picks up his bed and walks. Now you wonder, certainly was the power of the Christ involved there. I don't know if this man needed permission. Sometimes, right? You give somebody permission and something happens. Something breaks open for them. I don't know what it was. But in an instant, this man gets up and he is set free. And I would suggest to you and to me, I don't care. That's not a really nice word. It doesn't matter what it is that you are wrestling with or wrestling for or believing for. It does not matter, because today, and it came out on worship, love the worship, Donna. And then Justin kind of blew it open. We could have just had gone home for church there, right? Really good. Thank you for that. I just love it. But it doesn't matter to Father what it is that you feel is too big for him to move. And I've got it on really good authority. There is absolutely nothing. Right? Speak to that mountain, and it will be moved. Be thou removed. So whatever it is, you dial that up. You think, okay, well, maybe I'm dealing with maybe I'm dealing with an addiction. Maybe I'm dealing with my finances. My marriage isn't maybe what it could be. My kids, let's not even go there, right? We don't have that kind of time. But we just need a supernatural touch. We need Father to intervene. Would you agree? And he is more than able. He is more than willing to stand with you on your behalf and move in on that situation. And what we're even releasing now, you know how they stirred up the waters? I'm just releasing hope in Jesus' name. Hope. Whatever that situation is, and I know a lot of you have been pressing in and believing for something, and it hasn't been for weeks. It hasn't been for months. Some of us have believing stuff for years. But I would suggest to you that do not give up. Do not give up on that dream. I wrote this thing out. This is a really good question. Are you ready to take back your dreams? Are you ready? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? And you say, Father, I refuse, pardon me, to let go of what it is that you have promised me. Isn't that true? Well, you know, Ben, funny you should say that. I love that guy. If you're not here one Sunday, just leave me a tape. Anyways, so I want to ask that question. Now, if you don't believe that Father can restore to you what the enemy has taken, we'll talk. But I believe there's absolutely nothing that if it's in Father's will that he does not want you to have. So, I'm going to ask the question again. Are you ready to take back your dreams?
Yes!
One more time. Are you ready to take back your dreams?
Yes! Yes!
And you have that authority in Christ. We're not begging at this point. Doesn't the word say you are more than able? You know what it says? It's not in your strength, not in my strength. But don't mess with me when the Father's on me. Don't you mess with me. That's how it happens. That's how things break loose. That's how things make way. That's how the water parted. The seas parted. Father was in the mix, and he's in your mix. There's nothing too difficult for him. So who's going to take back those dreams? Well, I thought, we've got life groups. They'll maybe help. I've got a Bible study group. I've got an Aunt Martha in Saskatchewan. She's pretty blind, but she can maybe help. There's no telling. But really, it comes down to, you see, if I keep thinking it's outside of myself, if my help is outside of myself, as opposed to, because we're all believers in this place, and if you're not, let's talk after the service. But when you put that on, when you allow that to come in, you are transformed. You are dangerous to the enemy. You are powerful. You are a force to be reckoned with. Don't mess with me. That's what it said, and I'll pull that up a little later on. When Father is in you, on you, a part of you, don't mess with me. That's what you are. That's what you are. We're talking about identity, right? Yeah, I used to think Christianity was like, you know, a pretty sad place to be. I won't say what church I was a part of, but it was pretty predictable. You come in here, you're like, holy smoke, all the bets are off. There's people yelling, screaming, whistling, jumping up and down. And that's what Father does. He just breaks everything open, and he will do it for you. There's only one thing that will stand in the way of that. The word is called unbelief. Isn't that right? Ooh, ouch. Unbelief. Well, I've missed a couple of Sundays. I've missed a lot of Sundays. I haven't been to church. I don't read my Bible like I should. I don't pray maybe like what I might. I you know what? That, you know, and that's all good stuff to do. But you just invite him in, and the other stuff starts to happen all by itself. We have Father inside of you, right? You can't get enough of this. Right? It's food. It's encouragement. It's protection. It's promise. It's all those things. Love it. That's what Father has in store for you. So let's get into some actual. Now, being a guy, as opposed to the women's conference, guys, I'm going to give you some tools. Ladies, I know you're handy with tools as well. Mixed masters, buttering cakes. Nothing wrong with that. Hey! Just because you're not doing it. Come on. And there's some gals here that can drive horses. I see them drive, you know, trucks, buses. It's amazing.
So what I'm saying is I'm honoring our ladies. They're every bit as capable as anybody else. So what I'm saying is that in Father, you can do this. And you, once you discover, you see, I think about the 99. I think about that little rodent sheep that got outside the gate, right? Most likely had a bit of attitude. Most likely it was a black one. I don't know. I'm kind of guessing here, right? And he just wanted to kind of break out of the herd. But I'm going to bet that it wouldn't be too long before he felt alone. And sometimes we don't do that well alone. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have Sunday mornings. Do not forsake the gathering together. Why? Because when I'm in a bunch like this, I'm feeling pretty brave. Right? Take a look. Say, two or three people say, you are brave. You are brave because you are by yourself. Right? You're brave. When Father's on you, you are a force to be reckoned with, contended with. Deuteronomy 20, in the New Living Translation, when you go out to fight your enemies, now as sure as you draw breath, there's going to maybe be one or two waiting. There's just testing. When you go out to fight your enemies, and you face horses and chariots, and an army greater than your own. A lot of us think, this is the wrong movie. I need to get out of here. But that's not what the word says. I pray this, and you know, and with this backdrop, you and Jesus, you are a majority. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. That's not where we do our best. Right, Ben? When Father's on us, get out of the way. It's going to happen, right? So when you go to battle against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. Fear will kill you. Fear will take you out of the game. My wife says it'll paralyze you. Absolutely. Because you see, you with God. And I don't care, again, I don't care. There's people here that have got real problems. I understand that. I've told a story before. I've come through cancer twice. First time I heard that, I was paralyzed, fearful. But fortunately, we had a praying group of people, friends, church, right? And then, here we are. Several years later, thank you, Jesus. Oh, look at the word disappeared. No problem. I got it right here. Is it back? Oh, wow. Paul. Okay, so here we are. The Lord God is with you, who has brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now, as I understand it, getting out of Egypt was a good thing. Is that right? And they were to go to their promised land. You see, every one of you in here have a promise that is waiting just for you. And for me, of course. That's what's waiting for us. That's what's promised to us. The Lord God who brought you out of this land of Egypt is with you. Once you've got that settled, once you understand who you are in Christ, once you understand, in fact, that greater is he that is in me, boom, everything changes. Everything that is not a father, I love this, has to bow its knee. They're weenies. That might even be in the message if I look hard enough. Right? Does that make sense? No disrespect to the word. But when the Father is in you, everything else that is not of him, every circumstance, every financial situation, every marriage that's not running right, those kids that you wish were somebody else's, right? Those little rodents, they have to bow their knee. This isn't being recorded, is it? Change the word rodent. Okay, so That's the first point. I've got some more to go. We okay? Are we doing all right? Oh, man. But my right guard is really working hard. Cut that from the tape, too. Okay, so. All right. Oh, this is so good. Preach myself happy. Just to kind of take a bit of a break, that was kind of heavy. I put on this special shirt today, and I thought, if I really get going, there's no telling what'll happen, Ben. A button could fly off and hurt somebody's eye. But don't worry, I've got some more. Okay, let's get back to work here. We're here to do business. Okay. Secondly, you are not going to fight. See, nobody's nodding off. I figured that out. I thought my preaching was really good. But as I thought about it, I thought, you know what it is? These people are afraid. There's no telling if they'll pick on me while I'm asleep or make fun of my glasses. There's just no telling. The guy's out of control. Secondly, you're not going to fight the battle. This is so good. How many here have had a big brother or a big sister? Right? I didn't. I was that person. But when you got some and you're in trouble and they show up, yeah, now you're in trouble. So here it is, but here it is in the words. It's the same thing. 2 Chronicles, 20th chapter, 15th verse says this. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. Isn't that interesting how much they talk about fear? I think about, it was on Christmas time, and the angels showed up to the shepherds. What did they say? Fear not. Fear is such a bad thing. I heard it said fear. False expectations appearing real. You can write that one down. It's a freebie. Anyways, back to work. So thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed. In other words, perplexed, trying to figure it out. How many of you know that when God is in you, God is on you, and God is working through you, there's going to be a whole bunch that's going to happen that you will not be able to figure out because it transcends rational thought. It transcends earthly reason. It's the Father at work. That's why when we can pray for somebody that has no vision and they can see, I can't think that through. I know how it happens, right? Or whatever it is that you need, and we pray that and it happens. It doesn't make sense here, but it doesn't have to. It's Father at work. And I think he just comes through and he does what he does best. Thus say the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. In other words, what he's saying there in today's language, yeah, it doesn't look good. You know, it doesn't look good. Like, I'm really aware when I come up to share the word, and I'm sure anybody else that does, man, if you're just relying on John, it's going to suck. So I have to pray for the Holy Spirit. That's anything that good that comes of that, okay? And that's not false humility. I just know better. That's what I pray. That Father would touch you, because when he does, it's everlasting, it's life-changing, it's door-opening, it's financial stuff coming in, it's hopes and dreams restored, the color comes back into my life. That's what happens when he comes into your world. So that's what I invite. Thank you, Father. Be not afraid or dismayed, for the battle is not windward. No, it's not it. The battle is not yours. It's not even your fight. It's like Jesus seeing what's going on. Right? You've received him. I don't know what Jesus said, but this is not script. This is John. But I just think you're messing with the wrong person here. This is my son. This is my daughter. And Jesus is right in the middle of this. That fight you're about to get into, that battle, that mountain, whatever that looks too big to get into, that's not your battle. It belongs to God. Are you ready to take back your dreams?
Yes.
One more time. Are you ready to take back your dreams?
Yes.
Right? Because the enemy, what does he do? He robs. He steals. Destroys. Doesn't play fair. I know. Somebody should talk to him. He is so bad. But that's what he does. There's only one thing you have to do. Oh, wow, finally he's getting down to the cold notes. You ready for it? It's really simple. Comes out of Mark 5. Verse 36. Okay. We got it? Not quite. Okay, that's okay. There's only one thing you have to do. As if by magic. First of all, there's that fear thing again, isn't it? Doesn't that? It keeps popping up. Do not be afraid. Only believe. That's all you have to do. That's all. It's that simple. It's all been provided for you. The backup's there. It's not your battle. Bigger is he. Right? All that stuff. All you have to do is believe. Thank you, Father. Isn't that good? That's all you have to do. So, Father, we just blow on that belief. You know how you start a campfire? You just huff and puff in a little cold and eventually, whoo, whoo. So we just blow on that little ember called belief. And how much of that belief do you need? I read somewhere, I think it was in a book a lot like this, even if it's the size of a grain of mustard, right? How big are they? Have you seen them? They're tiny little things. That's all you need to start. That's all you, so that should be encouraging. I hope this is encouraging for you. I hope you're getting this. So all you have to do is to believe, and it's yours. Wow. Wow. There was a story. It's Mark 5, 35, 36. And Jesus calls Jairus to an extreme faith with an extreme promise. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead." Whew. That's bad news. You know, you talk about fear. You talk about how could this happen. You talk about, I know there's nothing, you know, nobody here, but I don't deserve this. Why did that come upon me? And Father puts it in perspective. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, that's, you know, that's also the power of words. We really got to be careful what we do with our mouths, with our tongues. Things like gossip and slander, not good. You can destroy. You can destroy. By the same token, with your tongue and with mine, you can build up. You can make ready. You can get things going. You can move things out. You can release the Holy Spirit. That's what happened in worship, right? Come on. That's you guys. That's you guys. Okay. So Jesus said, do not be afraid. Only believe. You see, there's two things we think that don't go together. We think like oil and water. But in the Word, two things that don't go together. Fear and faith. They don't belong. So I think we got to pick. Today would be a good day to do that, wouldn't it? Right? You're not sure? Come talk to me. Today would be a good day. And you know, really, it's quite that, it's just that simple. To choose. Right? It's that simple. So fear and faith, they don't belong in the same sentence. And you only have to believe. Oh, just preach myself, Epi. Come on. I got to move along here. I also believe that as Christians, we don't need to fight fair either. When you go into a battle, you've got a life group behind you. I've seen those guys in action. Get out of the way. Because they'll stick with you when things are going good. And they'll stick with you when you're going through a testing time. I would like to think that this body will stick with you when things are going good. And will stick with you when you're going through a tough time. That's the kind of people I want to hang with. People like yourself. Right? Come on. So you get reinforcements. I'm going to read out of the message. Message a little more. What's the word? They take a little bit of license, but I kind of like it. Here it is. Psalm 118, verses 5 to 16, out of the message. And basically what it says is that when you get into these kind of scrapes, a lot of us think you just have to take it. You got to take your lumps. No. We get to push back in Jesus. This women's conference. Who was the speaker? Laura Lynn? Yeah. When she says, because of what she does, she says, when I wake up in the morning, the enemy says, oh no, she's awake. Let that be your story. When you wake up in the morning, the enemy says, oh, she's awake, he's awake. Here we go. Pushed to the wall, I called to God. Good decision. You ever been pushed to the wall? You ever think you're all by yourself? You don't think I can't take any more? Has that ever been you? It certainly has been me. But we don't stay there, do we? Pushed to the wall, I call to God from the wide open spaces. He answers. God's now on my side, and I am not afraid. There's that fear word again. Who would dare lay a hand on me? Get it? Who would dare lay a hand on Ben? On Dean? Yeah. Who would dare lay a hand on you? Nobody. Because of what you carry. I just think, too, when you're in that spirit, I believe when you walk into a place, you don't even have to say a word, Benjamin. The atmosphere changes. It's really simple for me. You got a bucket of water. You'll see, yeah, that is really quite simple. You got a bucket of water. You stick your finger in the water. Does the water ask if it has to get out of the way? I don't think so. It has to move. It has to make room for what's about to happen. So when you carry the Holy Spirit and you walk into the place, all the rules are changed. Everything's different. Because when you walk into that place, the enemy doesn't ask, well, do I have to leave? He's gone. That makes sense? He's got to go. Got to go. And once you figure that thing out, you're dangerous. So Morris Sorolla said, talked about being armed and dangerous. I love it. I got to get on here. Wow. God's on my side. I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me? God is my strong champion. Whew. That's who I hang with. That's my company. That's your company. I like this. I flick off my enemies like flies. I know. Far better to take refuge in God than to trust in people. What it's really saying is not that we can't trust in somebody, but just get your priorities straight. Is that okay? Does that make sense? Okay? Okay. Hemmed in barbarians, in God's name, I rub their faces in the dirt. That's what it says. Hemmed in and no way out, in God's name, I rub their faces in the dirt. Like swarming bees, like a wild prairie fire, they hemmed me in. In God's name, I rub their faces in the dirt. I was right at the edge of a cliff, ready to fall. This guy's, you know, he's got a little bit of heat here going on, a little bit of a battle. When God grabbed me, and held me. Now, let's be appropriate here, but let's grab somebody. Grab him. I want you to go in there and say, gosh, I remember that service. Some guy grabbed me and I didn't even know who he was. The Father's got you. He's got you. He's going to grab you. You're at the edge of the cliff. You think I've got nowhere to go. He's got you. Does that make sense? God is my strength. He is also my song. The power of worship. What's going on there? It just takes us to a new place. And there's things that are imparted. You understand when that's going on? Donna's not just singing a song. She's imparting. It's a transfer. Something's happening. You're being just given power from above. There's a transformation that takes place. And that stuff that shouldn't be on you, it's like a Holy Ghost shower. Does that make sense? It has to go. All that junk has to go. So when you just stand in that worship place, right, and it just comes on you, it has to go. So good. God is my strength. He is also my song. He's now my salvation. He's your salvation. Hear the shouts. Hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. Oh, gosh. He turned the tide. I didn't think he could do it. I thought he was in Africa feeding the kids. But here he is. He showed up when I needed him the most. Right? And he turned the tide. Something I thought would never happen. Something it just couldn't happen. Not for me. But it did. The hand of God. And you know what? If he's turned the tide here, he will turn the tide for you. Somebody get excited. Holy moly, right? Come on. Come on. He'll turn the tide for you. That's just, you know, I got to keep on going here. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. That's for you. And you know something that has already been paid for? The tab for all this stuff has already been picked up. Isn't that true? And you might be going to that place where, you know, I don't deserve it. Yeah, okay, let's get that out of the way. Come on, right? But Jesus saw something in you, sees something in you where you are a person of promise. You may not even know what that is. Dare to ask, Father, what is it that you have set me aside for? How am I going to be a world changer? I could never be up front and play keys or the stuff that they do. I couldn't do that. But you know what? You can do something. You can do something. I haven't got all my message done here, but that's okay. I'm going to pull it to a close. But I just want you to be so excited that you're hard to handle. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Come on. Like, wow. Like you're from a different place. Yeah. True. Right? And so even now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I just release that Holy Spirit, that thing that changes everything in your life. Not just the stubbed toe, not just the sore knee, not that I'm only 10 bucks short. I'm talking about the life changing things that you think are impossible in the natural. Newsflash, they are. But with Christ, with Jesus, everything. Isn't that what it says? Everything. I want to hear that. Everything becomes possible. And we are not, you are not, to settle for anything less. Come on. Wow. Just preach myself happy. It's so good. But it's so easy to get excited, isn't it? It's just everything just takes on a whole new meaning. Nothing is impossible for you folks. So I just bless you. And whatever it is you plan to do today, it's not just you out there. It's Father on you, in you, going ahead of you, making a way, blessing you. And other people are going to be blessed just because you show up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should be blessed. Mm-hmm. Right? Come on. So, Father, again, I just thank you for each person in this room. I thank you, God, for such a time as this. I thank you, Father God, that we don't have to be afraid. I thank you, Father God, that we don't have to settle for less. I thank you, Father God, that you make a way where there is no way. I thank you, Father, that in your name we say, mountain be thou removed. It has to move. It has to move. It has to move. Father, those things that try to dissuade us, take us out of the game, Father God, in Jesus' name, they have to bow their knee. They have to bow their knee. They have to give way because what you are carrying is more important, more powerful than anything that this world has seen. It's the power of Jesus Christ. Father, again, each person, when we think of our young people downstairs, in Jesus' name, and those people that work with them, those teachers, those helpers, bless them in Jesus' name.